We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
This team is so similar to where we were at back then. Deep with talent. We needed to play the game the right way. And again, I'm going to reference the discipline in the game. Not all players are going to be the same. But understanding your role inside the team and executing your role will help the team win. We were deep, like three, four lines deep. We were three lines deep, and then I had two or three really good, useful tools that we could lean on people with.
So that's Lindy Ruff yesterday down at KeyBank Center, his introductory press conference, returning as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. There were a lot of comparisons made to when he first, took over, I should say later on, some of the teams he had in Buffalo, some of the younger teams when they came up. He said, out of the lockout, the 05 lockout, Joe, there were also, Joe, references to the Devils team that he's coached the last couple of years and how the talent there and the speed and the offense. I thought that was really interesting from Lindy that he made that comparison. And joining us right now on the Western Hotline to talk about Lindy's time in New Jersey, he writes for the Star Ledger in New Jersey, covers the Devils, Ryan Novosinski. Ryan, it's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Did I say your last name right, Novosinski?
You said it all right, my man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm sure you guys are feeling very nostalgic in Buffalo today, in this week.
We are. It's a really good word. We've talked about that a lot ever since this might have even been percolating. And there's a lot of different kind of ways to look at it here, Ryan, which is I'm generally one who says – I'm tired of Buffalo teams trying to reach back to the past to reclaim something, like when Marv Levy was hired as general manager, in the mid-2000s and bringing Ted Nolan back to coach the team. But Lindy is different, right? Lindy, first of all, I grew up watching him as a team captain a long time ago. I'm older. And then he was a coach for a lot of the heyday of the team. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals, obviously. But also he had some success in New Jersey recently, Ryan. I mean, you've seen him firsthand. What did you see from Lindy as a coach, his style, more than anything, with the Devils over the last few years?
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, this is why I think that, you see the firing and you say, oh, man, like that's definitely a retread and there had to be some red flags there. I actually like the hire for Buffalo. Listen, Ruff's system, in many ways, he sold out for offense a little bit. Big on puck possession and zone entries, and he had the players to do it with the guys like Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier and Jesper Bratt. But what was the downfall pretty much for this Devils team this year was you had young defensemen, you had Luke Hughes, you had Shimon Nemitz, both of who are sub 21 years old, 20 years old. You had them playing big minutes, and then you had their counterparts, their defenseman pairs, they had massive regressions. I mean, you look at a guy like Jonas Siegenthaler, a guy like John Marino on this Devils team, they had massive regressions this year. They didn't play quite to the skill that they usually do. And when you're playing in sort of an overload style in the defensive zone and, really looking forward to spring it up through the neutral zone and get back into the O zone, which, Lindy's brand is, it's not really a good recipe. I mean, it was prone to breakdowns. You saw it every single play. It seemed like one way or another, there was always going to be a breakdown. Now, they had some luck sometimes and they had more veteran defensemen the previous year And I think that's, you know, a reason why they had all their success. But, I mean, you look at this Buffalo team, I think they have the pieces there, much like New Jersey, where Lindy can thrive. And I think, quite frankly, as it stands right now, a little more seasoning to some of those young defensemen there in Buffalo, to where I think that this is can be a really good hire. I mean, you know, Lindy kind of had the misfortune of not having great goaltending either. So that really was all of these things a part of his downfall in New Jersey. And, you know, with the tandem they have in Buffalo, or I guess the triad they have in Buffalo, I think that that this could work out pretty well.
Yeah, so basically, Lindy, like last year, the Sabres were the third highest team in the league in scoring, and the Devils were fourth, but they were almost 75 goals different in how many they gave up. So would you imagine that what basically Lindy had last year in New Jersey is, like, if he could create a carbon copy of what he had, that would be his goal?
Yeah, I no doubt. I mean, you want to have – if you are a really strong, really fast, run-and-gun offensive team, it's going to make for some fun hockey, you know, regardless of the results. But I think the results – like, I'm leaning more towards – because, as I mentioned, the goaltending is strong in Buffalo. I mean, he said it yesterday, UPL, that's his goalie there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you, if Levi has kind of a resurgence there under Ruff, I think you're going to see more. I'm leaning more towards 2022-23 Devils than I am 23-24 Devils, in which, you know, there was a bunch of different factors. I mean, there was the injuries, of course. There was, you know, like I mentioned, the young defenseman kind of tuning in and the goaltending issues, which were, I mean, ran rampant in New Jersey. His second year, I believe, or maybe his first year, he spun through seven different goaltenders. And, you know, between all those factors, I mean, this year you saw, even at full strength, though, this team kind of just wasn't responding to it. I think there was just a perfect storm of kind of misfortunes, if you will, that it was just time. And quite frankly, I mean, it probably should have been time a little bit before then. But between all these things, and Lindy was pretty candid about it in the press conference yesterday, just saying, you know, he saw during that Ducks game, it was, you know, I think two games before he got fired, he was like, yeah, maybe this isn't the year for me. But again, with the players that Buffalo has, I think they can all, a lot of them could have career years. I mean, you saw that in tenfold in 22-23 with the Devils. I mean, guys like Dougie Hamilton were even having career years, and that's the guy that, he already got his money, right? He already got his big paycheck. So that's not some, you know, upstart rookie trying to, you know, make his name. No, these are guys that are proven veterans that are having career years.
I went back and looked the exact date he was fired, March 4th. It came on the heels of, it looks like, a 5-1 loss to the LA Kings, but they're actually still over 500. They were 30-27, it looks like, was their record at that point. Like, what led to it? What was the ultimate demise of why the actual firing happened? We know that they were kind of underperforming. Was it just that? Were there anything specific? Was there something that was going on?
There were a couple things. I mean, you look at the homestand they had before that, and we all know even though Sabres were in it, right? This awful, mediocre mess of a wild card situation that now has the Washington Capitals playing the New York Rangers at a minus 37 goal differential. There were so many golden opportunities for the Devils this year to pounce on, you know, games where they could be tied with Detroit for the second wild card spot, right? And it was, oh, man, this is the biggest game of the season. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've written, oh, man, this is the biggest game of the season for the Devils this year. And almost every single time, they wouldn't pounce on those chances, right? And this is, I'm talking golden platters, like, you know, ready for the taking for them. And New Jersey wouldn't pounce on them. And it was the inconsistencies there. It was, they hadn't gone on more than a three-game winning streak at all this season. Their highest was three, and I think the last time they did it was late November, some one of those. So I think Tom Fitzgerald, the GM for New Jersey, I think he just got tired of the inconsistencies there between, and you know, there were some interesting media antics from our end too, you know, and a lot of that might just be conjecture and Lindy trying to, you know, say, hey, look over here. Don't look at the product that's happening on the ice, where, you know, he's blaming reporters for, for the power play struggles, a statement he would later walk back. There were instances too where, you know, a young player in Alexander Holtz was getting, you know, benched, and, you know, right after he would score a goal, and Lindy said to me in a press conference that I don't watch the game very well. And there were instances like that all throughout that, you know, it spoke to, hey, something's coming to a head here. This team that won a franchise record amount of games last year is now spiraling and can't win more than three games in a row. Something's got to give, and there needs to be a new voice. And didn't really work out for the Devils and their new voice, but, you know, I think a change was definitely needed.
How much of the, do I want to call it a narrative? I don't know. We've heard a lot recently, just even if it's just mentioned in passing, that Andrew Burnett had a lot to do with their success last year, being on their bench, and then he leaves, and, you know, the Devils, you pointed out the injuries, but their success went down. How much truth do you think there is? How much credence do you think there is to Brunette was making a huge impact on that bench, and that Lindy wasn't the same when he wasn't there?
You know, I go back and forth on it myself, but there's no doubt. Anything that Andrew Brunette touches, I mean, he's the Midas man. Anything he touches turns to gold. I mean, you see every single place that he's gone, they've had success. Now, in Florida, you look at it and you were like, okay, talented roster, anyone probably could have done well there in the interim. But no, then he goes to New Jersey, and I know for a fact that the players really responded well to him. I mean, great communicator. His power play wasn't as great as, you know, as it should have been, given, you know, the talented bevy of scorers they have on that roster. But I think in that room, he was a big voice. Now, that's not to take away what Lindy did. I mean, Lindy squeezed a lot of potential out of these guys. I mean, he's a good developer of some of these young superstars. I just kind of wish that it was a little bit more consistent throughout, right? You know, you see some of the guys this year that kind of, I think, responded well maybe to Burnett. One guy, Dawson Mercer, who, you know, he had a breakout career year last season, and this year he kind of goes away with 30 points. Now, 20 goals, but, you know, he goes away with, you know, 30 points. It's not exactly the best kind of thing, especially after he have a career year. Again, I think that Brunette absolutely added something to that group that, you know, kind of flies under the radar, although a lot of people are bringing it up now. But I don't think that he was the end all. Like, I don't think that's the takeaway from the experience and the voice that Lindy had. I think Lindy definitely had a big part in some of these guys having careers, of which, you know, it was most of the roster last year.
And Ryan, when Lindy comes to Buffalo, the big talk is accountability, accountability. Like, the players are, hey, we need accountability. Don Granato was a really nice coach to get him to a certain level, but Kevin Adams said more accountability. What's interesting is in New Jersey, wasn't there talk of the GM being upset at maybe how he was holding guys accountable so much? It's almost like what he was doing in New Jersey, we want to have in Buffalo, but it didn't work in New Jersey because he was too hard on him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I'll go back to the Devils needing a new voice. That's kind of the overall crux of it. However, I think that, as I mentioned before, you need to have consistency in your accountability, right? I think a lot of time you see with some of these veteran coaches that, I'm not going to say they kind of pick and choose who they're accountable for and who they're not, but, you know, there's a point where, okay, you're not going to help me scratch a Jack Hughes or whatever, unless your name is John Tortorella. but I mean, as I mentioned too, like, some of the stats that Lindy and I had got into press conferences and whatnot were about, you know, a player in Alexander Holtz who, again, he would score a goal and then he would get benched. He would score the game time goal. I forget which, I think it was against the Canadiens earlier in the year. And then he would get benched in the third period. Lindy would kind of shorten the bench. And it's like, listen, I know that, you know, like, and Lindy referenced it and said, oh, he made a mistake in the second period. Well, that goal happened in the early of the third period, and you're benching him, almost retroactively benching him, right, for a mistake he made in the second. I just wish, I think what needs to happen in Buffalo is you don't want to run into a situation where there's inconsistency in some of the things, right? If Tase Thompson's being inconsistent, you know, not to say you're going to bench him, but, and, you know, you don't want to bench like a Zach Benson, right? Like, you know, like, you want to let him cook. I think my message to Lindy is you got to maybe let these younger guys cook, you know, and because I think that they're the game is changing where you can have guys that are 18, 19 years old come in and have an impact right away. And I think with this Buffalo team, how many draft picks they've had in recent years and how young they are, you got to let some of these guys cook a little bit to, in order to get, you know, the most out of their development track.
Yeah.
And I hope we do see that in Buffalo. I hope we do.
You're definitely giving me memories of, I mean, again, Sabre teams of 10, 15 years ago where there are veterans that will have a bad shift and not get see the bench, and then a young player does. And like there, you won't see him for a half hour. And I guess you kind of said it though, right? Like the higher level players, he will still throw out there because the Devils had the second youngest team in the league. He's coming to the team that has the youngest roster in the sport before the offseason, at least. So you know it can't. I'm sure he knows what he's got and what he's getting into. He's not going to be a guy that's going to hate all young guys.
No, yeah, no doubt. I mean, listen, like his hand was almost forced this year too, because Dougie Hamilton went down with an injury. He almost had to trust, you know, some of the young guys, especially on the blue line, and you know, and I kind of understand it. You know, your blue line's depleted. There was numerous injuries in that unit this year, so you can't really go ahead and say, oh, I'm going to bench X player, you know, X defenseman. But I'm going to treat this fourth line winger that we're trying to develop, you know, a little differently. So I kind of understand it in a way, but you know, if you think about it too, there's going to be instances where, yeah, someone's going to need accountability. And I think Lindy will do that. But I don't think it's uniform across the board. I think he does put trust in the young players, and in New Jersey and now in Buffalo, he's going to have no choice but to trust some of these younger guys. Right. That's just the nature of the business and the way that roster is built right now. And I'll tell you what, guys, one thing I do want to mention too, I don't think that we're talking about enough how revitalized he'll be, how recharged he'll be by going back to Buffalo. I could tell you guys stories, so many stories about how many times he's referenced the Bills, how many, you know, press conferences Monday nights, or he would say, oh, hey, let's keep this short. The Bills are playing soon. You know, like I think he's going to be recharged there.
Yeah. No,
well,
no
I will tell you, I'll tell you this. I saw him on the sidelines when the Bills played the Eagles that weekend. Him and his family, they were there. Yeah. They were at the game.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. He was on the field, on the sidelines before the game, pregame. I've gotten to know Lindy over the years here in Buffalo here and there a little bit. I know a lot of the media. He came in yesterday, Ryan, and he said, the real reason I came back is I missed Paul Hamilton and Mike Harrington, referencing some media people. I mean, you know, it's kind of a love fest here that's going on between him and the city. And yes, he has owned it. He said it. He's owned his house here since 1979. He never moved away. His son, by the way, still works for the organization. He's in the hockey department, Brett Ruff. So yeah, this is obviously something that we're very familiar with. The other thing that he's familiar with is, as Joe pointed out, a young team. He mentioned this roster reminds him of what he had in New Jersey. Do you see it that way from an outsider looking in at the Sabres roster? Do you see a lot of similarities there?
I see a ton. You know, you have a good mix of veterans on that team. You have Tuck. I'm blanking on some of the other ones right now. But you have guys that are seasoned enough, right? Like, I think Tage Thompson is seasoned enough to where, okay, he gets it. He gets how to play in the NHL. Now, you know, I think he was also playing through some injuries this year, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yep,
so
yep.
I think you'll see a bounce back from him. I think you could see a new life under a guy like Tuck, who was really, you know, champing at the bit, right, to play for Lindy. He talked about it in his exit interviews. I think you're going to see mixes of people that, you know, you have the similarities in New Jersey. You have that run-and-gun style. You have that really, you know, prolific offensive team that, you know, even under Granato last year, you saw instances where they were, you know, you saw Tage Thompson's career year last year. I mean, it was ridiculous. I think Lindy can unlock some of that potential with some of these guys. Now, the part for him that's going to get them over the top, that's going to, you know, hopefully get Buffalo back into the playoff run, is if Lindy can learn from his past mistakes and, again, be consistent with the accountability, one. And two, I mean, hire a defensive guru or you know, if the defensive coach there is – is a defensive guru, like really be sure to have that structure. I mean, kind of rework, use all these assets at your disposal, Lindy, and really make sure that there's structure with that team. Because a structured Lindy Ruff team can be a really good team. We saw it in New Jersey two seasons ago, and I think you can see it if he implements that in Buffalo.
Yeah, well, my thought on that, Ryan, is looking at the center position especially. Like I think the biggest reason, maybe the number one reason, that the Sabres didn't make the playoffs this year is both their number one and number two centers didn't meet expectations. Like, they both regressed in big ways. They're older, but just watching the Devils over the years, again, I don't know what percent you'd want to credit to Lindy. I know it wouldn't be zero, it wouldn't be 100, but it does feel like once he got there that Hughes and Hischier just kind of hit the next level.
Yeah, I always think about that too. I'm thinking like, okay, these are two number one overall picks. Were they going to, you know, surge anyway, or is it that Lindy is a good whisperer of young talent? I think it's a little bit of both. Like you mentioned, it's definitely not 100% Lindy's, you know, doing, but it's also, you know, like he definitely had a say in it, right? I think Lindy, what I'll give him credit for is that he is good at tapping into the young superstar talents, right? Getting them to unlock a lot of that. And maybe a lot of that too is the guys that he's, you know, coaching up, especially Jack Hughes, that's a really offensive minded kind of guy, really, you know, gels in Lindy's system. Now, what needs to, you know, be finer tuned about that is, you know, that the defensive side of things just needs a little bit of fine tuning, right? Like I think if he can find a way to gel both of those aspects, to gel, okay, you get the offensive surge, but maybe be a little bit more careful with the puck and things like that. And also, you know, having that strong 200-foot game, I think Lindy kind of unlocked a lot of that with some of these players to the point where, like, Jesper Bratt, who's now a superstar and was a sixth-round pick, he's now getting penalty kill minutes. I mean, you would think that Jesper Bratt, okay, this is just kind of an offensive guru. No, like, he's developing his 200-foot game. Nico Hischier is obviously a Selkie, a perennial Selkie kind of candidate. You know, Lindy's going to do a good job at unlocking some of these guys' potential. It's just a matter of, can I keep it consistent? And I think, you know, maybe it's a coin toss to see if he can.
Before we let you go, Ryan, you're right there in the thick, the tri-state area. Rangers 2-0 on the Capitals right now in their series. Islanders with the collapse the other night, of course, down 2-0 to Carolina. It looks like they're on a collision course. How do you see the East playing out? And obviously with the Rangers, we know about Chris Drury here. We know about Mike Pekka behind their bench as an assistant coach. Like, how do you see all of this kind of playing out, even with, you know, Boston and Toronto as well?
We always talk about how much of a bloodbath that Western Conference bracket is, and it is. I think the fascinating thing to me is how this East is going to shake out. Who's going to be the one playing against one of those behemoths seemingly in the West? Now, I think Rangers kind of have, you know, an easy series wins here. I think Carolina, you know, they're just kind of one of those upstart kind of energy playoff hockey kind of teams that forechecks hard and just has skill throughout. And they're playing for a lot this year. There's going to be a lot of tough decisions in Carolina this offseason with a lot of their guys expiring. I think they went all in. They, you know, mended their goaltending situation a little bit, and a lot of that was just circumstance, just happened. I like Carolina in the East, but any number of these teams I think can make it. That Boston and Toronto series too, I think that's going to go seven games, and each game you're going to say, oh man, Boston's going to, you know, take this one. Toronto's going to take this one and win out, but it's just going to end up going seven and probably overtime.
Yeah. Really quick before I let you go, because we had been doing coach search stuff for it was only a week. You know, they hired Lindy pretty quickly here. But when Craig Berube would come up as a potential idea for the Sabres, I know because I've read it out there that he wants to be closer to his family in Philadelphia. I had always been thinking about him for the Devils, but I guess I also don't know if they're just going to keep Travis Green.
I want Craig Berube in New Jersey. I think he'd be perfect for them. I think he's the kind of guy that would instill a full stop kind of accountability for them and really, you know, he's one of those spark plug kind of coaches that I think this Devils team could use a little more structure. there's enough connections there within the organization. I mean, you look at Jake Allen, the goaltender. He played for St. Louis. I mean, I'm sure even Marty knows him, too, from his brief time and then, you know, time in St. Louis's front office. I think Berube would be a slam dunk hire for this Devils team. You know, Travis Green, you know, for all of his accountability and Fitzgerald preached about that. The record got worse, right? And all the advanced metrics that you look at, except for the goaltending stats, which Lindy didn't really benefit from, every advanced metric under Travis Green went down. And again, except for the goaltending, and the record was worse. So I don't think Green is exactly the slam dunk hire by any means. And I would love Berube. And, you know, being close to Philadelphia, you're right there, man.
Ryan, this was amazing. Great conversation. We appreciate it. And we'll reach out to you again because this was really cool. And we love talking hockey here in Buffalo, even on draft week. So it's really cool. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Gentlemen, please do. Thank you very much for having me.
You got it. Ryan Novosinski covers the Devils for the New Jersey Star-Ledger. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Paul Hamilton was at the press.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Conference yesterday, what are his takeaways from what Lindy Ruff had to say? Great stuff from Ryan right there.
I just want to thank you all, and I'm just going to reiterate again, super excited, and I might just add this, I've missed Paul Hamilton and Mike Harrington, and that's the reason I'm back.
I love it. I love it. I was listening to that live, and when it happened, when he said it, put a smile on my face, and I'm sure it made you chuckle a little bit as well, Paul. Paul Hamilton joins us here on the Wester Hotline. It's brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Paul is, that is, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. You know, I mean, hey, I know you've seen Lindy over the last several years, many years, and when he's back in town, talk to him. But here you go again, Paul. Kind of a really interesting scenario to be covering a guy that you covered for so long, you got to know so well.
Yeah, he doesn't mind having a little fun along the way too. So which is fun, you know. Why when I'm at first question, I ask him a serious question to start, and then the second question was, he'll never give you the goalie, and we kind of make jokes about it. You know, who's the goalie today or whatever? So that was my question. And question number two is, who's your goalie on opening night? And he actually said.
He gave you it. Yeah, he gave you the goalie.
Okay, let me start there then for both of you. By him saying UPL, I mean, I was a little surprised he didn't say, you know, we have two really good goalies here and UPL and Devin Levi. Can't wait to work with Devin. What? Did he give you any insight into anything with that answer, Paul?
Yeah, a little bit. And later on, he talked about having two good young goalies, you know. But, you know, as far as Devin Levi goes, can the Sabres do what the Bruins do? You know, one goalie had 44 games, the other had 40, and they both played one game in the playoffs. Is that something the Sabres could do with Levi and Lukanen? We don't know. I mean, Levi's doing great in Rochester. 13-2-1, the Amerks are, you know, in their last 16 games. They put him in net. They made it his team. And he came up a couple of times, too, and performed well in the couple of times he was up in the NHL. You know, he had shown quite a bit of improvement. But I think this is so good for him that they sent him down there and said, this is your team, and take it as far as you can. You know, you're not going to play much if you stay up in Buffalo, so there's really no point. We want you to play games. This is your – and he's embraced it, you know, and has played very, very well. They went from almost falling out of the playoffs to a tie for first place and lost by one regulation win. Otherwise, they would have went. They would have been the number one seed and in first place in the division. So that's how tight it is. They start, by the way, on Friday in Rochester. But the top two teams, Cleveland and Rochester, are tied in third place. 1 point behind is Syracuse, who Rochester now will play.
Yeah, I think that would be expected, right, Paul? That like Lukanen and Levi. It's not to say he couldn't over the course of next year earn more and more playing time, or even more than UPL at some point. But the season Lukanen just had, like, you got to give him the right, I think, to be the guy going into next year. Assuming they work out a contract, which I feel like I am safe in assuming.
Yeah, and you know he's got to go into camp the number one goaltender. He's earned it. He's absolutely earned it. And I know there's another coach, but Mike Bales is still here, and you know he's earned it. Now that doesn't mean Devin Levi can't earn playing time by having a great camp, as I said, to where, you know, a lot of people have said, well, what could they get for Levi? And yeah, you could go that route, but I don't know. In today's NHL, you pretty much need two goalies. You know, it's not too many goalies that play as much as Hellebuck does. And, you know, Vasilevsky.
Right.
You know, it's a good idea to have two good goalies if you can have it. So I would not be looking to trade either one of them. And, you know, we'll see where Levi falls when he comes into camp. Will he just be a backup goaltender where Lukanen gets 50 games and Levi gets 20-some-odd games or 30 games? You know, would that be the scenario, or would they alternate, or would they send him back to Rochester if he's not quite ready? Because – you know, we've seen a couple of games, and he's, to me, shown improvement. But, you know, we'll see where he goes with this playoff run.
All right, Paul, let's get back to the events of yesterday. I said to Joe earlier, and Bulldog said this as well yesterday, that the Sabres seem to have one very consistent message about this hire, which is this is not about the past. And they've not even said, welcome back, Lindy Ruff. And whenever you look at it, it says, welcome, Lindy Ruff. That's something Bulldog, you know, and Schopen Bulldog both kind of noticed. Schopen, I think, noticed that. And I think it's a really great observation. How about yesterday and how it was treated and Lindy and anything that was said about him being a part of the organization, nostalgia, what Terry said, what Kevin said, and just that theme of, hey, we're not doing this because of what he meant to the past. We're doing this because of what he means to the future.
And Kevin Adams seems very touchy about it. It was in his statement before they had the press conference. I think he referred to it at least twice, maybe three times during the press conference. And he doesn't want people to think that's what happened. So, you know, he's kind of got out in front of it, so to speak, and said, you know, look at that. Even when we were talking about, you know, he was on Lindy Ruff's staff. He was a development coach for 2 years and then an assistant coach for two. And, you know, so I wanted to know how much, you know, being in the room with Lindy Ruff as a coach, as an assistant under him, how much did, you know, he think about that and use that while he was making a decision. And he admitted it was partly part of it, but at the end he goes, but that wasn't it. He goes, that's not why he's the next coach here. And then he went back to, you know, the what you're referring to. So he's very touchy about it, and he doesn't want there to be any mistake in his mind of what happened here.
What did you feel about how Lindy approached that and anything he talked about? He was a little bit more of the, hey, he mentioned you guys, those kinds of things. Like, it's not like they want to ignore it, right? You can't do that. Lindy Ruff's been here. But just about his kind of journey to get back to this point and what he said about coming back to Buffalo and why he did it and why he's here.
Well, he took it way back. As he said, he's lived in the city since 1979.
Yep, that's right.
You know, so that's all the way back to the year he was drafted. So, you know, that's when he wanted to talk about how great the city is and how great the fans are. And he wants his players to experience what he's experienced from these fans, where you beat the Philadelphia Flyers in the playoffs 8-0, or you get huge overtime goals to win a game, and the building was shaking. You know, they're sitting in the locker room, and the building is actually shaking around them. I know I've had conversations with Danny Briere about that, to a point where he was a little bit worried about his safety sitting in there. You know, so, you know, those are the types of things that Lindy Ruff wants this group to experience.
In terms of his style, Paul, I feel like from how he talked, like they're not dialing back on wanting to score. They're just going to want, you know, to be more buttoned up when they are not, you know, in the offensive zone.
Yeah, that was a myth when Lindy Ruff coached here, that he was a defensive coach. He got kind of stuck with that. And Lindy Ruff is very good, in my opinion, of doing something that Don Granato didn't, and that's playing a style that fits your team. You know, back when he had Dominic Hasek, you know, he had guys that could score big goals for them. But really, if you think about it, Miroslav Šetan was really his only goal scorer. He had 40 goals. But when the playoffs rolled around, when Dominic Hasek wasn't as good as he was in the regular season, they were able to win because they would get a big goal from Dixon Ward. I mean, Dixon Ward scored big playoff goals for this team. Or they'd get a big goal from Michael Pekka, or somebody maybe hadn't even heard of that would step up and score a big goal for them. And that's kind of how they rolled. So, yeah, they were more defensive when they had Dominic Hasek in goal. And, yes, they had Ryan Miller in goal, but they also had Chris Drury and Danny Briere and Thomas Vanek and guys that could put the puck in the net. So now you're going to play a little bit different that way when you've got guys that are big goal scorers and can help you and put the puck in the net and score very big playoff goals. I forgot to mention Max Afanaginov too in that group. So, you know, he can develop a style for any way his team is set up.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. All right, Paul, well, guess what? You take a breath now, because now it's draft time, and I know you got stuff still you're going to be covering with the Sabres, but the coach search is over. Lindy Ruff is here. Now we go to the NFL draft. You got a pick? You got anybody you want to throw out there? What do you think the Bills are going to do?
Well, now this is the time of year where I hang out with you a little bit. You know, when
there
we're
you
out,
go, buddy. That's
when
right.
We're out one Bills drive, you know, we're both out there, and it gets me a little bit on top of the football team then, because, of course, I can't be out there a lot during the season, so a lot of my knowledge and everything that I get is being out there in May and June and July and training camp and when it's really going. So that'll be fun. And, yeah, I think definitely wide receiver. I don't have any names. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say I watch any more than Iowa State football, because that's basically what I watch. So I can't give you a bunch of names, but I do know by listening to you folks that this is a very huge wide receiver, you know, a lot of very good wide receivers. I was listening earlier, and I would agree with you, you know, with what Brandon Bean usually does. It wouldn't shock me in the least to see him move up and to get one of those wide receivers, because I think it's essential. Yes, they got Dalton Kincaid, and I think he's going to be even better than what we saw as a rookie. I'm really high on Dalton Kincaid, but you still need more than him. And I like Khalil, and, you know, he's fine, but I still think you need more.
I love it. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you, and I'm sure that we'll still be in contact and talking about the Buffalo Sabres over the next several weeks, and obviously leading through the playoffs and up to the draft and free agency. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds great. Take care.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton there on the West Hur Hotline. All right, Joe. Well, I am so dialed into what the Bills are doing, obviously, but I have to tell you, very, very interested right now in the top of the draft board and the quarterbacks. There's been a lot of talk. Some teams now, I'm reading some stuff. The Giants are a really interesting team. I'm going to read you something about the Giants when we come back. And also, is it really possible the Bills could go up and get Rome Odunze? We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, a couple quick items as we head on out of here today. Joe, breaking news, Amon-Ra St. Brown contract extension. 4 years, $120 million for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Wow. Yeah.
Think about if you're going to trade for Brandon Ayuk, what it's going to cost in assets and in money. It's just, it's tough to deal with.
I will say, though, the Bills are set up for that extension. Like, they, when they cleared their space, it was for the future. And usually how those contracts work is it's easier to stomach in the first year or two, and then the third, fourth, fifth year, it gets tougher. But the Bills cleared a lot of that out this offseason.
I wanted to talk about, you know, how far they could get up to get Roma Dunze, but we could do that tomorrow because I'm going to post later today, WGR550.com. Look out for it. I've done some research on what teams would be most likely that could want to move out of their spots in the Bills draft and trade up with them and why, who the target would be, and how much it would cost the Bills. So look out for that. In the meantime, real quickly on quarterbacks, Dan Graziano at ESPN says the Giants actually are they really, really like Drake May, and they'd like to get to the number three pick, but they also could stay at six and take Michael Penix.
Okay, but they would – they're in the market no matter what is definitely interesting. Sure, go to three. I don't want New England. I like Drake May, so I don't want New England getting him. And the Giants getting him, that would also maybe give Brian Daboll a little extra breathing room. Doesn't have to.
Maybe.
The season went horribly, but if you go 8-9 or 7-10 with Daniel Jones as your quarterback, I think you very well could get fired. If you go 8-9 with Drake May, and he makes steps along the way, like, you're more likely, I think, to be back as head coach.
Yeah, let me read you real quickly here what it says from Dan Graziano. It's really interesting. The last part of this blurb says, there's a lot of chatter flying around, but what is clear is that the Giants have done significant work on the quarterbacks and are very open, if not desperate, uses the word desperate, Joe, to come out on Thursday night with one of them.
Wow.
So there you go.
Love it.
I mean, I think if that is true, obviously it tells you what they feel or don't feel about, you know, Daniel Jones' future. All right, tomorrow for the NFL draft, we are wall-to-wall coverage all day long, of course. Then when the draft starts, well, it starts at 8, but our coverage starts at 7 from One Bills Drive. That's where I'll be. You're going to have Nate Geary, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, Joe Cali. Everybody's going to be on board here. All hands on deck. We got you covered. We're one day away, folks. Sabres Live is up next. They'll recap yesterday's press conference. One Bills Live after that, then show up with the Bulldog. Enjoy your Wednesday on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.